Yeah, I think all those are great examples.
I praise the Lord for the services throughout the day.
The tomb is empty.
I've just really sensed the Holy Spirit in all of them. It's very good. Enjoyed all the testimonies that were added today, and we're all good.
Yes. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. This was the first scripture that I wanted to look at.
Esther's going to learn to play the violin.
Anybody else have any other thoughts on different external proofs that we have for the resurrection? Well, first of all, in another place of the scripture, it talks about how he was seen by 500 at one time. At least 500 people at one time. So, man, they had a bunch of eyewitnesses of him having been resurrected. Yes? There you go. That's what they kind of based that whole thought of the movie Risen on, you know. That guy, it was based on not a true story, but on some of the historical Roman accounts of how they did search for his body. But let's look at Matthew chapter 28 here. And I want you to think about now, you know, let's just think about for a minute that... Try to think about the reasoning or the thought that the devil must have had at this point, right? Okay, so I don't claim to try to know the mind of the devil, and thankfully I don't think about him a whole lot, honestly. I probably should actually look at what he does a little bit better so that I can kind of know what the enemy's doing. But honestly, I don't really focus in on him much. But you had to know, right? You had to know that whenever Jesus rose up out of that grave, he was going, oh no, oh no. And everybody who was connected with him, do you remember what Jesus called the Pharisees who were standing against him all the time? They said, you know, our father is Abraham. Who did he say their father was? The devil. Man, that was a pretty serious statement that Jesus said. And we got to remember, Jesus is God, so he's all-knowing. He didn't just like say that and maybe he was right, maybe he wasn't right, right? I mean, he was absolutely right. He understood not that the devil had created them or done anything in that way, but that they were listening to the devil, that he was the one that was persuading them. And so when we look at Matthew chapter 28, we're going to look from verse 11 down. Verse 10, that's where he says, "Do not be afraid, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Okay, Matthew 28, verse 10. Now we look at verse 11. "Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave..." Listen to this. "A large sum of money to the soldiers." Satan's scared at this point. You see, he really thought he had won a victory whenever he got him on the cross. And you know, we were talking about that at lunch. How first he tried to prevent him from ever being able to make it that far. He tried to have Jesus killed whenever he was a child. He tried to kill Jesus many different times along the way. And then we find him here. He tried to get him to stumble. He tempted him to stumble and everything else. And so then whenever Jesus had risen from the dead, now they're going to try to bribe these soldiers. And now listen to what they tell him to say. "Saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. All right, let's talk about this for a minute. Yes? They love money more than other people. That's true. And so we've got these guards. All right. Let's think of a few reasons why we know that story that they tried to conjure up isn't true. Even if we weren't a believer in the Bible itself, which we are, we can see that the Bible's telling us how the lie got conjured up. Okay? But let's think of some of the proofs that would prove that lie could not be true even among the people. Give me one. Can you think of any? If the guard loses their prisoner or the person they're guarding, it's guaranteed by Roman law that they have to be executed. Yes?
If they were asleep, then how would they know what happened?
If they were asleep, how would they have known what happened? First of all, they can't sleep on guard duty or they die. They can't lose the person they're guarding or they die. And then if they were sleeping, how did they know what happened? Okay? Here's another one. This one is probably the most convincing of all to me. If his disciples just went and stole his body and they were trying to live out this lie, why would they have been willing to die for it? And I'm not talking like easy deaths. When we start looking at church history, we find out that those original disciples basically dispersed and went into different areas of the world and was taking the gospel with them, and they died gruesome deaths. So like, take one for instance. Who was it that went to India? Yes?
Most people that would suffer the kind of torture that they did would say anything just to get it to stop.
That's just it. If it was a lie, they would have never suffered the kind of torture that they were willing to suffer. How did Peter get crucified traditionally? Understood? Upside down on a cross. He said, I'm not even worthy to die like Jesus. I'm not worthy to die like my Savior, so you'll have to hang me upside down.
Andrew died in Great Britain.
Yeah. Mark in Egypt. And Thomas in India. And there is still a church that can trace their roots back to Thomas right now in India. It has lasted 2,000 years. Isn't that amazing? So what I'm saying is, if they really did just lie and steal the body and go and hide it somewhere so that nobody could find it, I don't think they would have gone to those lengths to take the gospel everywhere. Why would they try to take a lie all the way into India and get killed for it? They wouldn't have. I'll guarantee it. You know, human nature. And to say that they were all going to, right? Like, all of the disciples went on to follow because they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. That's what made the difference. So, all right, now, the song that we sang today, I think, is another good one. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. How about all the other gazillions of people? We don't even know how many people have come to believe in Jesus since that day that have had changed lives, that have had answered prayers, that have seen miracles. You know, the same God still heals today. He still does the miracles that He did back then in different ways, in different parts of the... I think they see more healings in countries where they don't have very good medical care, for one thing. See, Christians helped set up the medical, you know, system that we know of in the United States. So God has used Christians, and He has given His blessing to do a great, vast amount of the healing through these different institutions now, which I'm not saying that medicine overrules God. I'm saying God uses medicine. It's still God that heals. And because, if He doesn't want to heal someone, there's another purpose or something in mind, then the medicine doesn't work, and it may just be their time to go home. Hallelujah, right? I mean, if that's God's will. But what I find is you hear of more miraculous healing stories in countries where they don't have medical care. And a lot of people said, well, maybe their faith is just stronger. Well, that may be somewhat true. I don't know. But I don't think that means if somebody didn't get healed here in the United States, it's because their faith wasn't strong enough. I wouldn't say that. Sometimes people are accused, well, your faith's just not strong enough. But sometimes God says no. His answer is not always yes, right? He isn't just there to give us what we want. He's there to give us what we need. And sometimes that's part of what He's working out in our lives. And sometimes those adversities that we're living through, it says that we're not only called to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for His sake. And sometimes that may mean some of our medical conditions. Yes?
The one apostle had what was referred to as the thorn.
Mm-hmm. Paul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And God said He was using that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. 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 Absolutely. Absolutely. And so God has a perfect will in things. But I'm just thinking about all those proofs of the resurrection that, you know, we see that in the Scripture. And to be honest with you, that's enough for me. I don't even really have to have any more. But it pleases me whenever I also see that there are so many evidences out there for the resurrection that it is true. You know, I mean, it's just, it's beautiful. And it's awesome to look at the thousands of years now of changed lives, of the gospel going forth, of it changing the world. I mean, you want to look at all the benevolence work that's done worldwide, you know, I mean, like helping people in need and stuff, and like 99% of it literally are coming from the Christian movement in some way, shape, or form that has been done in this world. And I mean, it's just a beautiful picture of what's going on. And I'm telling you that the right to do it in many of these countries has come, the ability to do it has come from the blood of the martyrs who first went in and started to settle these lands. I mean, people, one after another, that have been willing to die for the faith, it is so much the proof of the overarching power of the resurrection. It is a beautiful, beautiful picture of it. Whenever I think about that, I think, you know, the devil, he really, the only, like, independent power that he has, He can't seek to do any of us harm without clearing it through God first. I mean, I really believe that the picture we get in Job is an accurate photo, an accurate account of how he deals with all that he would try to afflict. He can't do it unless he has permission, but I'll tell you what he does without permission is he attempts to deceive. And that's where he runs around trying to sway people's minds. And I can say that God will even use some, you know, that type of stuff in the long run for good, okay? But that's how he meddles with us, and that's how he gets us on the wrong track, is through that deception that turns into temptation, that then temptation, whenever it's full grown, it becomes sin. And that's whenever our flesh takes over and we follow that way, that route. And so all of it's based on some type of deception, I'm just telling you. And so we can see how the deceiver worked right there. The deceiver said, I can't win this battle. I can't outdo that. I can't overpower that. He rose. Now we got to try to conjure up a lie. And so the ones who didn't want to believe, guess what? They went with a lie. They just, you know, it says, and it's still reported among the Jews today. You know, and so it just continued to be a story that just continued to roll over. Even though he's over here and he's appearing to 500 people at one time. You know, and he's taking his people out on the mountain as he goes back up to heaven, and they're watching him go up. They're seeing him, you know. Angels speaking to him and all this stuff. And then they go back to the temple, and guess what? They're doing the same miracles that Jesus did, right? After they received the Holy Spirit. Silver and gold we do not have. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man rose up and walked. Proof of the resurrection. If Jesus was just lying and he really didn't do it and his disciples had to go do something and steal him and all this stuff, the man wouldn't have got healed that day. You see, just one after another, God proves his presence all the time. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was funding Christ's
mission. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And there's just one thing after another. And you know, the devil.
He was opposed to Christ because he wanted to be the king of the Jews. Why would he support Jesus?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is. It's so ridiculous. And the thing of it is,
it tells how his mission was for people who would bring and give things. It's right on assignment.
Absolutely. That's the thing. And you know, the devil's still trying to lie to people. That's like throughout the centuries, the devil's been placing lies out there trying to convince people to turn away. And that's like a lot of these false gospel books that they find from time to time, you know, these scrolls. And a lot of people say, well, why don't they include those in the Bible? And I'll tell you, if you know, you everybody can actually research that a whole lot more than what we realize, because there are actually documented reasons why they don't. And it's because they can absolutely, without a doubt, prove that there's something that is erroneous in every one of them about the dating, the authorship, or whatever. A lot of times they'll claim a date by some particular details that they put in there, and then there'll be other details that show it could not possibly be on that date. And it could not have possibly been that the person who was supposed to author it and things of that nature. So those are all lies from the devil that he puts out there. That's like that Gospel of Judas that they supposedly found, and it was supposed to show that Judas was actually helping Jesus out. It's another one of those lies, what you're talking about. I can guarantee you Herod was not helping Jesus out, and neither was Judas, okay? God did use what Judas did, but Judas wasn't doing it as a favor. Judas was doing it for the money. And the Bible shows us, you know, because after he took the money, you know, he actually had a worldly sorrow that came over him, and you remember what he did. He went and threw the money back in there, and he tried to give it back, and they wouldn't, so he just threw it in there, and they wouldn't even spend it on the temple, because even they knew how wicked it was. And so they bought the potter's field with it and used it to bury people in. But he went on and hanged himself. And then another gospel says his bowels spilled out, and people say, see, there it is. That's the contradiction. No, it wasn't. They both happened. He hung himself, and after he hung there for a while, his bowels spilled out. I think that, yeah, I mean, every little difference between the Gospels, everybody says, that's a contradiction, but it really isn't if you really look. Yeah, okay, in Acts, written by Luke. And so, you know, what we can see is they're just, it's just a different view of the same event, and it just shows more details, right? Just like if five people see an accident down at the corner, they're going to be seeing it from different perspectives, and they're going to have different little details in there. And that's actually proof of the accuracy. If everybody came up with the exact same story, you'd think, must be something wrong here, right? There's something fishy about this. So as we look at, I want to move over to Acts and chapter 4 here. Okay. We know what happened in Acts 2, right? Acts 1, Jesus told them, wait here in Jerusalem till you get the promise. Okay, the promise of the Father. All right. And then whenever he comes upon you, that's the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to be my witnesses. And so in chapter 2, they're all meeting together. Now, here's a big one, okay? What were they doing, the 120? They were in the upper room having a prayer service, okay? They were meeting together, praying together. Here's the thing, when we wait on God, we got to pray through, okay? And so they were praying together, and God showed up. I mean, it's just that simple. God just showed up. And man, they started speaking in tongues, but not like sometimes it's portrayed in the modern world. They were speaking in the way that the other people who were from other countries who spoke other languages could understand them. They could understand them like they were speaking in their language. So like they were in there and they were understanding each other, and they were speaking in ways, and it was the Holy Spirit speaking through them in ways that they could understand over here that were from totally different nations that were gathering in Jerusalem. And then Peter preached, and like 3,000 people got saved that day. It was awesome. And I mean, like, they got saved for real. Like, they didn't just say a few things. I mean, like, they got baptized. They were added to the number. They got involved. I mean, the gospel just started to spread like crazy. Okay? It was spreading like crazy. And we just continue to see more and more people coming to the Lord. And then we get here to chapter 4, and it says, now as they spoke to the people, verse 1, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus, what is it? The resurrection from the dead. Okay? And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next evening, and it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. I'm talking just in a matter of a couple days. We're talking like a megachurch, right? What we know of as a megachurch is already spawned. That's how fast it's spreading. It's spreading like wildfire. Why? Because the people had the Holy Spirit upon them, and they were not grieving the Spirit. They were moving forward with Him. And I'm telling you, people were really, truly, as we would say in church, getting saved, right? Yes. Exactly. Exactly, brother. You're right. That was just the men. So what about the women and the children that are coming? We're talking whole households being saved here. And so it says in verse 5, "And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they said, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter," listen to this, "then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit," right? Okay, this ain't Peter speaking. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter. And I'm telling you, it's with boldness. "He said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." What's he doing there? He's actually using the Old Testament against them. Okay? Because it's the Holy Spirit speaking through him. Who's the builders? I just had this asked to me the other day. The builders was the Pharisees and the priests and all of those, the religious authority of the day. And so those were the builders, and they were supposed to be building God's house. They should have known God whenever he showed up, right? But their father was the devil. And you look at how the devil is fighting against this preaching about the resurrection. I'm telling you, that's the preaching that puts him where he belongs. That's the message that puts him where he belongs. He hates hearing about the resurrection. He still does to this day. But boy, Peter's putting it straight to him. He said, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Must. So some would say, is there only one way? Well, the Holy Spirit just spoke through Peter and what he just said. So Jesus said, "I'm the way." He didn't say, "I'm a way." He said, "I'm the way." Peter now is saying, there's only one way. The Holy Spirit through Peter is the one saying, there's only one way. He says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on, they speak to no man in this name.'" So let me ask you something. Did they see the miracle? Right, that's the miracle, the healing of the man in front of the temple, as I was talking about before. Silver and gold we don't have, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And now, did they see the miracle? They admitted they saw it. And they said, nobody can deny it. And what were they trying to do with it? They were trying to stuff it, suppress it, deceive, and lie. Yes? Mm-hmm. You can't. Yeah, you really can't. And I mean, this dude's walking around out there. He's a walking testimony. And they're like, look at this guy. This is awesome. You know? And the only thing that they perceive, these people have been with Jesus. And you know what? Why are they still refusing to believe? Because their father is Satan. And he's a liar. And even though they can see the evidence, you see, they're creating more lies. They're committing the unforgivable sin there. You see, God has witnessed to them. We read it in Scripture. They admitted that was a miracle, and they knew it. Now, what are we going to do about it? We're going to try to silence it. And that's what they told Jesus. You must be doing this by the power of Beelzebub. They were denying the witness of the Holy Spirit, and that's what's still happening today, and it's right down the line, right down to the resurrection. And I think, for us, it's a good thing for us to have a good handle on it, because you know there's still a lot of people that are not getting saved today because they're not sure, is the resurrection real? Because I'm going to tell you, everything hinges on the resurrection about believing in Jesus unto faith unto salvation. You know, I mean, without the resurrection, he really was just a good teacher. He really was just a good moral man. But I'm telling you, with the resurrection, he is who he says he is. He's God. He's the way. He's the propitiation for our sins. That means payment in full. It's a word reserved to only that. That means he is the one who paid in full for all of our sins. And he's the only one who could have done that. He's the only one who's a Lamb of God. I love what it continues to do, continues to speak of here. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter just said, I am not going to shut up. I have no choice here. You know what in essence he's saying? I saw the resurrection. And you're not going to shut me up. I am going to continue to tell. I have no choice. I am bound by God to do this, is basically what he's saying. So kill me if you must. It's the only way you're going to shut me up. He didn't seem too afraid, did he? He didn't seem too afraid. And when they had further threatened them, they let him go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. What's the first lie that we got going out in society today? Evolution. God didn't make it. Evolution did it. In fact, we'd rather believe that an alien from outer space dropped the seed of some kind of bacteria down here that wound up getting in slime and turning into some kind of a living creature and eventually makes it to man and woman who can reproduce together. We'd rather believe that than believe in a holy God. And I'll tell you why. Because he proves his existence, first of all, through his creation. And even they are recognizing that right here. First lie that Satan uses in this world today. And you know, something needs to change, because that's like, right now in public school, that's the only thing that they'll allow to be taught in the classrooms about science and the origins of species. They won't even let you talk about creation in almost every state. There's only a couple of exceptions on that. That's not right. And I'm just saying, that ain't right. Even if you're not trying to push Christianity, that still ain't right. Because there has to be, if it's truly a learning institution, we should be able to see both sides and let the kids decide for themselves, right? I mean, really, that's not right. There should be at least intelligent design. Even if you don't go to try to teach in Christianity out of it, just teach that there was a creator, that at least it's a widely believed answer for this. Because it's right here in the Scripture. Go ahead, Andy, what were you going to say? Mm-hmm. Cross species, yeah. No.
It's always been mm-hmm. an offshoot of the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of force or a different kind of dog.
Boy, you're right.
Still a force, mm-hmm. three horses, still mm-hmm. a dog, or whatever they're breeding, they get mm-hmm. a different variety of the same thing.
And yet, because the devil is the prince of the world, just as Jesus said, they keep pushing this evolution thing year after year after year after year in all of our learning institutions, and they don't have one shred of proof for it. Not one shred. It is making a difference in the minds of people. I'll tell you, I'll tell you the truth. You know, I used to accept that there must have been something to that evolution just solely because every learning institution, every secular learning institution in our nation just constantly is so dogmatic about it. I thought, well, I got to know something, right? And, man, I'll tell you, my world got, like, totally rocked whenever I met Ken Ham and listened to him. I mean, from Answers in Genesis with the Ark and the Creation Museum and all that stuff, he really made me rethink that thing. And then I started thinking, you know, if I was the devil and I was going to try to deceive people and try to make them doubt the existence of God, you got to try to knock out the creation because it's so consistent with what we see, with what the Bible account is, so much more than science. Yes?
So many of them use adaptation to prove
evolution,
but they're not the same thing.
They're not even close. Yeah.
You know, like the horses used to be a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And certain animals used to be a lot bigger. But they're still the same animals.
They're still horses, yeah. And they're still, you know, I mean, you can cross match like a horse and a donkey and get a mule, but it's still basically, you know, the same basic shape, size, animal. It's just got some different qualities at that point. And even that winds up being a messed up deal because they can't reproduce. So it just kind of proves you can't have this total mutation through millions of years of time. And you know, I mean, there would have to be some proof for that. And there isn't. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's
no proof.
They've never been able to get anything that they've analyzed and found mm-hmm. all the things that were supposed to be there mm-hmm. at the beginning, and they've never been able to get
life. They've never been able to get life. You can't get order from disorder. I mean, it goes against every law of science, too, and they still keep pushing it. Why? Because the prince of this world wants to knock out that pillar. And if he can knock out that pillar, then he can make children at their most formative years doubt the existence of God. Number one attack. And then if they do get through that, and they maybe entertain the thing that God is real, then you have this attack on the resurrection. I mean, I have had people just literally say, "You don't really believe that, do you?" You know? And it's like, absolutely. I mean, I don't just believe it mindlessly either. I believe it with my heart, because I read it in the scripture, and I believe it with my mind as well, because I see all the proofs. And I believe that just as he was resurrected, we are going to be resurrected today. It's a proof of that as well. Let's go on and read the rest of their prayer, because man, this is just awesome. This is what we're gonna go home just with this in our heart, because now they are really attacking John and Peter here, right? I mean, they're attacking them. They're coming right down on them. And they're saying, you know, basically, if you keep this up, you know, you could end up dead. This ain't going to work. You know, you need to stop it. They had already killed Jesus, so they knew they were capable of it. And so they're like, you know, you need to quit doing this. You need to quit talking like this. So we've already got Peter goes, hey, should I obey you or should I obey God? I'll let you be the judge, but I'm sure what I'm going to do. I'm going to obey God. Okay? Then he goes back to his companions and this is what they say. Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, verse 25, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed by both Herod and Pontius Pilate with Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Praise God. That's the answer. Guys, whenever we get mocked, Whenever we are told that we are stupid for what we believe, let's stand on what we know to be true. Let's stand with God. Let's stand unashamedly. And if there's any fear in your heart, you go straight to God and you pray to Him, give me more boldness that I may speak your word clearly. Don't back down. These guys didn't back down, and I'm telling you, read the rest of the book of Acts. See what happens. The gospel spread like crazy. Yeah, they got persecuted. Yeah, they didn't let up. Read about Paul. He never let up at all. In fact, whenever they turned up the heat on him, he turned up the heat on them. And he continued to preach the word of God. And yes, there was a price to pay for it at times. But I'll tell you what, he also had a closeness with God like I can't imagine. I think God was right there with him as he went through those things. And we know he was right there with Stephen, the first recorded martyr. And I'll tell you what, Stephen looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. That's saying something. Isn't that awesome? That's how God gets us through whatever we must face. I know, you know, none of us really like confrontation, and some people are even more afraid of it than others. We don't go out there looking for confrontation, but what we need to do is go with the truth, because Satan is blinding people, he is deceiving people, and we need to ask for the same kind of Holy Spirit boldness. And you know, again, there's a distortion of mean slain in the Spirit that a lot of churches try to like duplicate, and they try to act out what, you know, like maybe falling on the floor and shaking and things of that nature with disorder. But if we look here, whenever the Spirit came upon them, what'd they do? It just says they spoke boldly, isn't it? So the Spirit came upon them, and it says, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. That's going to be the number one evidence that the Holy Spirit is upon people. You know, it's not going to be disorder. It's actually going to be order, and it's going to be people that speak the Word of God boldly. And they'll do it no matter where they are. They'll do it. You know, we don't do it to be in people's faces, but I'll tell you what, we should do it out of love, but we need to do it in truth. And we need to do it no matter, you know, what kind of background that the other individual may have or whatever. You know, if we feel like God is giving us an open door there to share with them, I think that we need to find a way to do that. And we just need to find a way to bring it to a gospel conversation that we can share with them. And I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I have found more people are actually receptive than what we realize. You see, God's working. You're praying, then you're going, and God's working, and He puts you in contact with people that are ready to hear. And every once in a great while, I'll run into a person, you know, that gets maybe a little upset or agitated. Don't worry about that. What does Jesus say to do? You go into a town where you're not received, shake the dust off your feet, move on. And you know, if at some point we begin to be persecuted for it, I would say we probably better be encouraged. It means God's doing something. And they're only happy about it. It's all right. You know? I'll give you a really good prime modern-day example of that as we get ready to close. You got Planned Parenthood up in St. Louis, where they do somewhere around 5,000 abortions a year. Pretty sad fact, isn't it? That 5,000 unborn babies get killed there every year. Terrible. It's terrible. Happening literally every day. You know? We figured it up. You know, you got 52 weeks a year. They probably operate 50. You're going to have, it's like 100 a week, right? You're thinking about it. Isn't that terrible? Well, then they got, you know, sidewalk counselors go up for rain or shine. I'm going to tell you, these people are dedicated. They are dedicated. I think we need to share in that dedication some. I mean, these folks, I mean, they got a smile on their face. They got love in their heart. They aren't trying to shout nobody down. They are just putting themselves out there to be despised and everything else by the folks that work in there, and even some of the people drive back and forth in there. But they'll stand out there, and across the street from there, they couldn't buy the property over there. So some people got their heads together and they said, but we could park a van over there. We can park a bus over there. And so they got together some money and it's called Thrive. And so Thrive is an organization that was developed in St. Louis just to set across the street from Planned Parenthood so there could be some counselors in a warm place and even an ultrasound machine eventually where they could give those girls an ultrasound if they'd just be willing to walk across the street. If they'd just be willing to drive over to the other side of the street. Yes? Praise the Lord, they are in more cities now. They have expanded. They are really going forth. You know, last year, Planned Parenthood joined with the Temple of Satan in a lawsuit against them. Did you know that? The Temple of Satan got together with Planned Parenthood. Whose side are they on? They are literally in cahoots with the devil to try to kill unborn babies. So they got together and they filed suit against Thrive, and boy, Thrive just backed down and they were all scared and they just got like cowards and they left. No, they didn't. I'm going to tell you what the lady said whenever we went and saw her this year at the March for Life, Midwest March for Life. Man, I'm going to tell you, I love that lady. I forget her name. Bridget? Yeah. And man, I'm telling you now, she is a dynamic child of God that is really, really on fire for the Lord. This is what she said. Praise the Lord! Can you imagine having Satan himself come after you? We must be making some good, you know, marking things. And I thought, now that's the kind of spirit to have right there. That's Holy Spirit power. And she said it wound up coming to nothing. In fact, the Temple of Satan wound up falling in the process too. Praise the Lord. She stood. They stood in boldness. And they said, go ahead and sue us. And I tell you what, that van never ceased to be parked across from there. Because they had God on their side. And they said, there's nothing to worry about here. Satan, and the Temple of Satan somehow was claiming that it was a violation of their rights or some nonsense. And I mean, it went nowhere. But not because, you know, Satan don't have people in authority and stuff either. It's because God wins. Ultimately, in the end, God wins. And even if he could have removed the van, God's still going to win. You know what we found out this time? It's really cool. I don't know if anybody else, if you guys have ever been up there or whatever. It's a wonderful experience to go up there and pray. I don't know. I mean, it's like crazy better than what I thought it was going to be, like scary or intimidating. Man, it just felt the power of God whenever I go up there and pray every time. But it's so awesome that there was this really kind of pretty old building off to the across. There's like it's on a corner. So you got Thrive over here, you got Planned Parenthood here, and then you got this building over there. And I always wonder who has that building. Boy, it'd be a good place for, you know, like a crisis pregnancy center or something like that, that close. But it turns out that these two nuns bought it, and I kind of shared that before. You probably heard me talk about that. But it was so cool because these nuns, the Catholic Church bought it, and they placed these two basically retired nuns there, who all their ministry is basically to pray. They are like, they've got an upper room where they can look down right there at what's going on. They can keep track of what's going on, and they can pray. And I'll tell you what, that nun I talked to, that lady's sharp. She watches everything that happens in there. They have a heart for the Lord, and they have a heart for those unborn children. And I mean, they are spending their lifetime, their latter years of their life, praying for that and showing hospitality to people that come up and do the sidewalk counseling and praying. Isn't that so cool? Fresh cookies! And you don't have to be part of their denomination to come over there. They welcome you in, man. And I mean, they got a big door. Whenever it opens, buddy, I just experienced such joy in that. A chapel in there, go in and have prayer, sir. I mean, it was just so, that really blessed my heart. You see, God wins. God's going to win that battle too. Oh, I wish he would win it. Right now, I wish that he would take it over right now, and only his people would humble ourselves, pray and seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. He will. I think, I mean, that's what it's all hinging on. We just need to continue to pray. It's a beautiful thing. But you see, Satan's just got more of that deception out there. More of that deception. We know the truth. We are the ones that take the truth to people. Yes.
And I don't know if they're related to anything or possession, but it's something to the effect of limiting and health care.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I know that they got like Birthright down in here, down in this area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to check that out a little bit further, but
I'm not sure that's the exact name of it. I know, mm-hmm. but I know it says something about women and infants.
Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for our pregnancy resource center here in Potosi. Thankful you guys are going to get to go to the. You're going on Thursday, right? Isn't that awesome? And you're gonna get to see some more of the people connected to that as well. It's such a good ministry. It is such a good ministry. I'm so thankful we got one over in Parkland as well, over in Park Hill. So good. I mean, it is just so awesome because we get to disciple the ladies and the men that come in there and everything. I mean, it is so much the heart of God. But God wins, and we just need to stay close to Him. I'll tell you what, He just keeps pumping me fuller and fuller of boldness. I mean, like, we don't have to fear anything, really. And it ain't because we're tough. It's because God wins. He's already won the battle, you know? It's awesome. All we got to do is just ride with Him in the victory. Let's have a word of prayer. Any other questions or anything? I know we're hearing thunder and everything else out there, so we'll let you all get home. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of being here tonight to worship together. Thank you for Andy and Barbara coming. Thank you, Lord. Man, your Holy Spirit is here. And Lord, you are awesome. Your Holy Spirit is in us. We get to take you with us. We don't have to leave you here in this church, but I just am experiencing a special measure of presence, Lord, here as we worship. You're pleased with our worship right now. And Lord, I do pray that you would just bless us all as we go forth. Give us boldness to speak. And Lord, just by ourselves, a lot of us are not real bold. Lord, I thank you that you take the things that aren't and you see them as though they already are. It is you that makes us bold. So let us just seek more of you. And Lord, you will give us the ability to do that very thing. And you know, we're all going to be to different degrees. Let us be to the degree that you make me, to the degree that you enable me to be. And I'll never be a Robbie Zacharias who goes to universities and debates. But Lord, you've made me to be Pastor John here in Cadet, Missouri, to help just lead this flock to win this community. And Lord, you have brought the people here that you've ordained to be here. And we know that we're here because you've called us. Help us, Lord, to unite together, take the gospel to this community. Oh, Lord, you're good. Let us make disciples of all nations. In Jesus' name, amen.